Attention, Tuesday, October 31 news. Senate has approved the nuclear bomb funds. U.S. Senate approved $2.97 billion in funding for the development and stockpiling of neutron bomb components. The bomb is notorious for its ability to destroy life without harming property, something that only a capitalist who regards property would even consider is so barbaric and inhumane. Neutron bomb, as you know, can be dropped in a ghetto. Every person in the ghetto could be killed, every living thing, but the property would be left intact and the radiation level would soon disappear so the capitalists could move in and enjoy the fruits of their killing. Air disaster. It has been reported that it was avoidable. A Pacific Southwest Airlines 727 jet collided a few weeks back with a few days ago with a single engine private plane in the San Diego area, the worst U.S. aviation disaster in history. There were no survivors on the jet, and the death toll reached 147. Our good friend, Lieutenant Governor Merv Dimely, was scheduled to be on the plane, but canceled at the last minute. Also, one of our fine attorneys, Attorney Charles Gary, also was planned to be on it, but other circumstances arose that prevented them from being on the plane. As the bodies of the victims were being lowered into freshly dug graves, evidence mounted last week that the collision and all other U.S. air disasters could have been avoided. Representative John Burton, Democrat, California, chairman of the House Government Operations Subcommittee, the panel looking into the San Diego crash, said the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, could have avoided the disaster if it required a proposed collision avoidance system. The FAA is still years away from certifying operational collision avoidance system to prevent mid-air collisions. It's always a matter of profits above human life, even though the technology has been available for many years. Airline Pilots Association President John O'Donnell told the standby. Before the crash, hundreds of airline passengers have died in mid-air collisions in the past few years due to deficiencies in the present air traffic control system and the unwillingness of the big corporations that own the airlines and maintain the airports refusing to give financial assistance and its dependence on the see and be seen principle. O'Donnell, testifying for the 30,000-member pilot association, said the FAA has dragged its feet constantly in installing safety equipment because of the protective relationship between the FAA, the federal government, and the manufacturers. Big business again, alliance of big business against the people's welfare. Noted that the regulatory body has been assigned to carry out the deal and the dual function of overseeing airline safety and promoting the industry. Safety, O'Donnell said, is bound to suffer when the FAA, Federal Aeronautics Association, the supposed government regulatory agency, and John O'Donnell, as I said, is speaking for the 30,000 pilots of the USA and airline-related people. Anyway, safety O'Donnell said, is bound to suffer when the Federal Aeronautics Association attempts to balance it against such economic factors as the cost of airplanes. He said it's already apparent that most airlines are subsidized by government. Welfare for the poor is condemned, but many airlines receive outright government welfare
subsidization to keep them afloat with their massive profits. Using the proposed collision avoidance system advocated by the Pilots Association and Representative Burton, Pacific Southwest Airlines 727 jet pilot may have been able to detect the presence of the smaller craft earlier than the maneuvering and maneuvering then to safety. The issue of air safety will become more and more pressing as the number of planes, passengers skyrockets. The FAA estimates that the number of commuter passengers alone will nearly double, up to 16.5 million annually in the next 12 years, unless there's a nuclear holocaust, which many fear will be the case. More on the production of the nuclear neutron bomb. The bill's passage, apparently, is a dance to commit and to permit the Carter administration to begin immediate production of neutron bombs, the bombs that destroy all living things but safeguard property. U.S. shows its inferiority to all other systems in social sensitivity by the fact that U.S. alone that made napalm, that is a weapon against innocent civilians that causes their skins to fall off, horrible scarring, and the anti-personnel fragmentation bomb that has recently been shipped to Rhodesia, when everyone in the world knows that the true government of Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, is the Liberation Patriotic Front under Joshua Nkomo, the Nationalist, and Robert Mugabe, the Marxist-Leninist. And 97% of the country is behind the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. But until the United States showed its true colors, it's much fanfare, U.S. has much fanfare for discussions of human rights until reality faces them. When it came down to the fact that Rhodesia and its minerals that they'd been exploiting for years were about to be lost, you saw how quickly they lifted the ban in the Congress against economic aid and military shipment to Rhodesia. In fact, many papers, even establishment papers, have brought out the fact that through multinational corporations, billions of dollars have been being funneled in to Union of South Africa every year and in Rhodesia for all the years of its pirating government's existence. Anyway, the bill's passage apparently is a dodge to permit the Carter administration to begin the immediate production of these horrible bombs without a lengthy overhaul of assembly lines or delivery systems, according to an exclusive article that appeared in a magazine, Progressive Magazine. It also allows Carter to sidestep his pledge to deter production of the weapons. The bomb is designed to release high-speed neutrons, which disintegrate human tissue while leaving metal and concrete structures intact. Only a capitalist bestial system would think of this. There's not a socialist country that has thought of anti-people bombs, anti-people destruction. They've been defensive, and they've been offensive warfare designs in case of capitalism's encroachment upon the socialist world, but no, never have we heard of the Soviets even, and no system is perfect. Not one time have we heard of any socialist or social democracy recommending such vicious kinds of things as bacteriological germ warfare, which was just recently praised by Brzezinski, and Brzezinski, who really rules the United States through the Trilateral Commission, stated that he had to be dismissed from the reporters that were engaged with him, that so he could go and talk, make plans for genocide, a joking term that was hardly appropriate, because genocide means the elimination of races and ethnic groups that are undesirable to the social system at hand. In the eyes of the Pentagon, The bomb's unique characteristics make it an ideal weapon, particularly for deployment in Europe. The Progressive article states that Carter is particularly interested in deployment of neutron bombs along the Russian border. The article goes on to say that there has been exerted pressure from the Trilateral Commission, you know, Brzezinski, who is now the chief aide, head of security of the United States, and the chief aide of Carter, openly a neo-fascist, who says all people who think that nuclear war is not an acceptable means of safeguarding capitalism are guilty of being egocentric. Showed how ignorant he was even of the human language, of American English, so forth. He should have said ethnocentric at least, but it shows how stupid the man's vision is. He's talked in cruel terms like this many times of using nuclear war as a very perfectly ideal solution, alternate solution to any problems if capitalism is put in the corner. And so Carter's getting pressure from the Trilateral Commission, and he's bending to that pressure. Carter's particularly interested in deployment of neutron bombs along the Russian borders. Neutron warheads can be fitted easily to the 7,000 nuclear weapons and 3,000 delivery units which NATO already has in Europe. Production of neutron components will make the conversion of these weapons a simple matter. Reaction to protest. Faced with worldwide protest from even capitalist allies and lackeys in NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, not to mention the socialist world, the Marxist-Leninist world, or the social-democrat world, the proposal to produce and deploy the neutron bomb has brought wide-range protest. President Carter had announced in the summer his decision to defer the production of nuclear weapons with enhanced radiation effects. Attempts to get an outright congressional ban on development of the weapons were defeated, though. The compromised amendment requiring advance notice to Congress of neutron bomb production expired September 30th, the day before the new Senate bill was passed by a very clear example of inhumanity. It passed the bill 68-1. That's how little concern there is for human life and the dangers that menace the world through nuclear war. The increasing tensions that are bound finally to bring down at least those in North America and Europe, widespread death throughout the USSR and China. Less so in the USSR and China and Sweden, because many of them have underground complexes to protect their people. But in the United States, there's nothing to protect their people, because people always come second to profits. New York City Mayor Ed Koch last night announced that he intends to eliminate 24,000 municipal workers over the next 4 years in yet another effort to shift the burden of the city's fiscal crisis onto its workers and citizens, a clear violation of his candidacy when he was running for office, his pledge. However, a representative of the Emergency Financial Control Board, EFCB, the business-dominated agency that controls the city's finances, has complained that Koch's proposals are too weak. The FCB controller, Sidney Schwartz, has said that a number of city workers will have to be laid off in addition to the 24,000. 50-cent transit fare must go up to 75 cents, and all aid to the city university must cease. an EFCB controller. Sydney Swartz also says that there must be at least 100,000 laid off from work in New York. The capitalist system, its economics, is not aiding the American people very well. It's supposed to be such a superior system. There seems so many flaws. What's communism? Asks a steel company chief. The specter is haunting the United States steel industry, says United States Steel Chairman Edgar Speer. It is the specter of community-owned steel plants. In a speech before the McKeesport, Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce earlier this week, Speer announced a plan advanced by Youngstown, Ohio church groups for reviving production of the Campbell Work Mills. The mill was shut down a few years ago, throwing 5,000 workers out of their jobs. The ecumenical coalition, backed by a number of left and liberal groups, proposed to have this mill owned by all the people of the community of Youngstown, its workers. For Speer, the plan is nothing short of a communist takeover, and he says the KGB, the secret police of the Soviet Union, is behind it. He says that his whole concept of community-owned facilities is the same as communism, particularly where the profit of the facility will go for the social benefit of the people. This is communism, in his mind. We know how capitalists feel about communism. Proceeding on with the news. The men who were formerly employed by the United Nations have each been sentenced. Two men who were formerly employed, that is, each been sentenced to 50 years in prison for buying American defense secrets on behalf of the Soviet Union. In sentencing two, Vladimir Inger and Rudolf Chenev, a federal court judge in the state of New Jersey, said they had obviously been acting on orders from a very high level indeed. Each of them, he said, had been prepared to do everything he could to destroy the United States. The judge said that he was imposing heavy sentences as a deterrent to others. The court was told of how an American double agent lured the Russians into buying top-secret documents, including plans for anti-submarine warfare. Both men were released into the custody of the Soviet ambassador, pending an appeal. The prosecution had told the judge they should not be jailed because of foreign policy considerations. The BBC Washington correspondent says there is speculation that the two, at some stage, may be a part of a prisoner swap arrangement with the Soviet Union, and said that the situation of their so-called selling of secrets was a staging by the USA so that they could be in a position to get some people that have been actually carrying on intrigue in the socialist world. At the meeting of the Arab foreign ministers in Baghdad, Syria has made a strong attack on Egypt and called for her expulsion from the Arab League. The Syrian foreign minister described the president, described President Sadat of Egypt as an enemy of both the Arab nation and the European and the Egyptian people. He said Egypt should now be subject to sanctions. 20 foreign ministers are attending the meeting, which has been called by Iraq, to discuss what response the Arab states should make to the Camp David Accords. Correspondents say the foreign ministers are apparently divided over what strategy to adopt. Camp David sellout, which Carter called a meeting, as you recall, between Begin, Zionist Israel, and Sadat of Egypt, who practically has a dictatorship now due to a fraudulent referendum. They decided the matter of land redistribution or reclamation without the presence of Jordan, who had the West Bank stolen from them, and Lebanon, the whole southern portion of Lebanon, stolen by Israel from them. No agreement could have been made, and the world has protested it. It's only driven nations of the Arab League, even nations like Syria and Saudi Arabia, and Iraq closer to the Soviet position, because the whole world is incensed by the decision that was made, the arrogance, the presumptuousness of the United States to make such a decision in Camp David without the people that own the land, that are dispossessed and living in concentration camps, almost crowded in capacities that are hard for the human eye to look upon. The last pictures we saw of Palestine people inside Jerusalem, inside the Jewish nation, being kept in the conditions that were almost as bitter as the camps that had been used against those very same Jews, those people who were so terribly treated by the Nazis in World War II. Anyway, 20 foreign ministers are attending the meeting, which has been called by Iraq, to discuss what response the Arab states will make to the Camp David Accords. Correspondents say the foreign ministers are divided over what strategy to adopt, but one thing is certain. The United States has lost many friends, according to BBC. Unconfirmed reports from East Africa say there has been an uprising in Uganda involving at least one army unit. The BBC East African correspondent says that while it is not known precisely what is going on in Uganda, there are reports that rebel troops killed at least 150 soldiers loyal to President Idi Amin, who recently praised Cuba as being the hero of Africa, from the town of Kumparara, and then retreated towards the Tanzanian border about 25 miles away. However, the residents of Kumparara told reporters by telephone that the situation there was normal. Uganda Radio has not reported any trouble in the army, but for several days it has accused Socialist Tanzania, President Nyerere, who is a good friend of our own Prime Minister here, Forbes Burnham, and a very good outspoken socialist leader in the United Nations, at least for the liberation of Africa. He claims, Idi Amin claims, Tanzania has been planning to invade Uganda, claims which Tanzania has dismissed as total nonsense. BBC's correspondent says that one plausible interpretation of the situation is that apart from a possible army mutiny, President Amin is also facing guerrilla activity from Ugandan exiles. In the past, Tanzania has been sympathetic to their cause. Idi Amin has been a difficult man to understand. He first was trained in Israel, very strong pro-West views, and then he turned after the remarkable air feat in which some people that had been hijacked in a plane were rescued by a raid of Israel into his territory. He's become vehemently anti-West, partly because of the Israeli situation. And he has been very strongly pro-Cuban in their right to come to Africa to help with liberation. But Amin is a difficult personality too difficult for me to try to evaluate. Zambian authorities have reported that a locomotive has been destroyed and 150 feet of track was ripped up by a landmine placed by the Rhodesians on Sunday night. That's again Ian Smith. It should call all of our hearts to ache and our consciences to be gripped that we have paid taxes to the United States that provided all those munitions and all the military, the artillery, and even much of the personnel that Rhodesia now has, as well as the South African situation. The explosion occurred about 2 miles north of the city, the Kafue Railway Bridge on the border with Rhodesia, some 25 miles south of Lusaka. Zambian authorities gave no details of the casualties of the cargo of the train, but it was considered to be high. The American dollar has been under pressure again in trading in the foreign exchange. It fell to another record low against the yen. This is the lowest it's ever been again since the crash of 1929, when the Great Depression caused America to be nothing but blocks after blocks of people in soup lines if they had anything to eat, for the most part. This came after further calls yesterday on markets both in Japan and Europe, where the dollar lost more ground to the West German mark, the French franc, and the British pound. West Germany and Britain has urged the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, to postpone a decision on its draft declaration on the mass media. The British Overseas Development Minister, Mrs. Judith Hart, told a UNESCO meeting in Paris that there were aspects of the draft which England or Great Britain could not support. Several Western governments and journalist organizations have denounced the declaration as inviting government interference in news reporting and of being, in general, a threat to press freedom. Draft proposal being backed by the Soviet Union and extends from the disquiet expressed by developing countries on what they see as a biased and unbalanced flow of information about them on the part of the Western press, radio, and television. It seems that even though it was a USSR-instigated proposal, that it may well pass. The City Council in Paris has said the army will be called in today to remove thousands of tons of rubbish left in the streets by a strike of the city's dustmen. The strike has been hitting various parts of Paris over the last month. Strikes are in fact on every city of the capitalist world, almost. Throughout every city of the United States today, there's a strike of one type or another, and racial violence of one type or another. Another industrial unrest, continuing action by the merchant seamen, has hit all major French ports, and television workers have threatened another one-day strike tomorrow after similar action last week. The strikes are beginning to come in to cripple the capitalist system. And then what the capitalist system does, as you know, in its final declining days, is to become de facto fascist, USA, as long as it can get by with it, to appear to have some democracy, when in reality, both the Republican Party and Democrat Party are two sides of the same coin, and two complexions of the same capitalist erection. Nonetheless, then, when that pressure gets too hard, the president calls the nice word martial law, like Hitler did when he set up the burning of his own Reichstag and blamed it on communists when he had done it himself. So that's the nice little phrase, martial law, that gives every so-called capitalist democracy the right to eliminate democracy whenever the system is being threatened. In Britain, the Daily Mail reports that the National Health Service is suffering a crisis of money, manpower, and morale. Newspapers emphasize the plight of the hospital's nurses, many of whom complain that they are being overexploited and underpaid. 11 more people have been killed in the outgoing protest and demonstration against the Shah of Iran. Today, diplomats in Iran are wondering how long the Shah can survive in the face of the rising protest in every city against his reform and dictatorial ways. 11 that were killed today at the hands of the National Security Police during a demonstration were killed in cold blood. There wasn't even, all they were doing were just chanting. It is the confirmed opinion of most of the Western world and the communist world that the Shah's days are numbered indeed. In Moscow, Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko is meeting with Yasser Arafat, the head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. TASS news agency said they discussed the Palestinian problem and a general Middle East agreement was made. The nature of the agreement has not been given to the public as of now. Washington, D.C. The United States has confirmed reports that the Soviet Union has supplied Cuba with high-speed MiG-23 jet fighter planes. The U.S. officials say they believe that the Soviet ship carried as many as 20 of the planes to Cuba earlier this month. This is the first time that the large MiG-23s have been in the Western Hemisphere. There's much ado about it amongst the moderate and right wing, which is the increasing element in the United States, by the way. The right wing is moving everywhere. The right wing is moving in the form of against taxation, against welfare for the poor. Proposition 13 that passed in California that cut off all services to the poor, all job opportunities for minorities, is now being modeled in some 30 states. And since the days of the, I can't remember, the little lady that was so threatened over sexual orientation in Dade County, Florida, that has now been taken up by Congressman Briggs in California, and it holds great chance for success, and has already won in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Washington, Oregon, and a host of others. I've not nearly covered the number of states. Many of the states already had such rules prohibiting homosexuals from work. But there's the right-wing wave is most apparent in the United States these days. So, no doubt the right-wing is getting ready to whip up another kind of fervor that they did under Kennedy's administration, and when they attempted to get the Cuban exiles into Cuba to overthrow the rule administration of Dr. Fidel Castro. Little know what will come of it, but there's a great deal of hue and cry out of Congress over the fact that these few 20 MiG-23s have been placed now so close to the heart of world monopoly capitalism. Tokyo, Japan, has agreed to help Mexico develop its newly discovered oil supplies. In return, Mexico has agreed to begin exporting oil to Japan by 1980. Mexico and Japan also announced plans to expand economic cooperation in other areas. Mexico's President José López Portillo and Japanese Prime Minister Fukuda announced this after holding opening talks in Tokyo. They will continue discussion on Wednesday. Lima, Peru is returning some government-owned companies to private businessmen. Peru Finance Minister said the government hopes this will increase production and earnings. Peru did have a left-wing leadership, but unfortunately, has moved more and more to the right. Yet protests are still extended all over Peru and Bolivia and Argentina and Uruguay, where to protest means death. We need to look at those great exceptions of life for people of great personalities like Victor Jara and the Patrice Lumumbas. That's the only thing that gives life any meaning. that there are people who are capable of smiling like Victor Jara did in Chile when his arms were cut off and he kept singing the songs to the people that were sitting around him and saying, hope, and put it in their hearts, and he left the smile. Before he died, the smile was still on his face. There are too many great ones of history, the Haymarket Affair, the great numbers that died in the Spanish Civil War, the war against fascism, great heroic efforts of the human spirit. Otherwise, if it were not for socialism, human beings would be nothing above the animals. There'd be no purpose to life, and there could be no meaning to life. But we have seen socialism build a prosperity in Angola early that was not dreamed possible in these 2 years. And in Mozambique, 3 years, they've brought them from feudalism to a powerful modern industry of medicine, free medicine, dental care, and so forth, education. Well, now Peru is trying to get back in good favor under that dictatorship of some of its business associates. OAS, the Organization of American States, has asked President Carter to veto legislation to reduce meat imports into the United States. The OAS Permanent Council decided on the action at a special meeting held Monday. One of the members said the legislation is restrictive and the measure would most seriously affect the industries in Costa Rica, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, and El Salvador. Carter does have himself caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. American farmers are strong in their demands and pressing them in strikes and slowdowns that they want no more importation of meat products from outside when U.S. farmers are suffering so badly inside the United States. So perhaps the inevitable contradictions that arise in capitalism are coming into the foreplay sooner than we would think. Brazil, 50,000 metal workers have gone on strike in the São Paulo area. They rejected a 56% pay increase. The metal workers are demanding a 65% increase, which they say is necessary to keep up with the high cost of living in Brazil. Sunday night, thousands of women demonstrated in São Paulo against the high cost of food. The military regime has been reduced and the teeth has been taken out of its tyrannical hold, and thus far the army has done nothing or made no pronouncement of doing anything, because there's such an unrest in Brazil from the top to the bottom. And you know, it's a nation much larger than the United States, plus another area the size of Texas. But no military or police moves have been brought against the 50,000 metal workers and thousands of women who are demonstrating in São Paulo at this very moment up and down the streets against the high cost of food. This is a brave act, because technically to demonstrate is illegal. To strike is illegal and can carry 30, 40, 50 years and even life sentences. La Paz, Bolivia. Security forces have arrested 5 leftist political leaders and charged them with plotting to overthrow the government. The Bolivian Interior Ministry said the 5 were arrested after they had tried to involve members of the armed forces in their plot. The left is making its effort in South America, though. In Colombia, the left has still brought some other provocateurs that were in their ranks and informants for the racist regime in Colombia. I mean the fascist regime in Colombia. They have brought them to trial right under the nose of the army of Colombia and convicted them and executed them by people's courts. Africa, food scarce, hunger widespread. All but 2 of the 54, Africa's 54 countries are in critical need of foreign aid to boost food shortages and domestic production. The 2 exceptions, South Africa and Rhodesia, were not surveyed because they are not members of the UN Rome-based food agricultural organization, but large sections of their black populations also face starvation because nations have been concerned too much about exploitation and imperialism than they have about the welfare of the people. According to the FAO report, food production in the surveyed countries increased by only 1.3% between 1970 and 77. The countries also spent a total of $1.84 billion on food imports in 1973, causing a strain on their foreign exchange balance. Africa's self-sufficiency ratio in food commodities, especially cereals, fell from 98% in 63 to 90% in 1973. The trends continue. The ratio will drop to 81% in another couple of years. According to the organization, however, 52 countries could reach a 94% self-sufficiency level by 1985, and this could be maintained until late 1990. Drastic improvements, however, would have to be made in agricultural methods, and causes of waste and corruption would have to be combated. And Western imperialists will have to quit putting arms into Africa, but putting food, as the Soviets and some other social democracies have, and ecumenical church groups as the World Council. The FAO stated that wars, droughts, animal diseases, shortages of animal feed, and inadequate irrigation were major causes of the problem. Many parts of the continuous, many parts of the continent, rather, have been ravaged, and the peoples uprooted by anti-colonial wars of liberation. Large regions such as Sahel have experienced droughts, which has been blamed in many circles to CIA cloud seeding. In this year of East Africa, it does not look to be improving. Pestilence such as the plague of locusts in this year and East Africa and floods in Sudan would have been other causes of the lack of food. And again, there are reports, as I said, from India, from certain Arab nations, and African members of the Organization of African Unity that say the U.S. is behind this in cloud seeding. We certainly know they did do cloud seeding over Cuba. That's now a matter of world record. White revolutionary governments, while revolutionary governments such as in Mozambique and Guinea have concrete programs and policy to feed their peoples, most of the continent is dominated by the neo-colonial regimes. All the socialist nations that have been freed, like Angola with the backing of the Soviets and Cubans, and Ethiopia and Mozambique, are doing very well in maintaining their people. But those countries that are still under the domination of Western powers, neo-colonial regimes, whose leaders and bureaucrats often export the food for their foreign, the amount of money for food for their foreign bank accounts, so they'll be able to escape when the people wake up to how corrupt their leadership is. Ethiopia, under Haile Selassie, and Ghana since 1976 are classic examples. Both placed millions and millions of dollars in foreign banks while their people starved. Furthermore, food from donations from foreign countries have been used mainly as a source of private wealth for many colonial government officials. The news could go on and never ends, but that is enough, I think, to digest for anyone any day. Peruvian people are still in a strong resistance movement in the rural areas. Even children are involved, whereas over in Thailand, child slavery has begun. tens of thousands of Thai children, aged between 9 and 15, are employed illegally in factories. They have to work 10 to 12 hours a day. 9-year-olds, can you imagine? 7 days a week, and are paid far below the minimum wage rate. And the work is a fast pace. They have to work at a fast pace, or they're whipped. According to a recent report by the Associated Press, most of the children are 9 to 15, but many are under 10 years old. Some are sold by their parents to factory owners for an annual price of $90, and thereafter the children only receive food and housing in a big cold room for their labor. Oh, the pain when one is an internationalist, when we consider we all must be our brother and sister's keeper. We're all comrades of one world. It is painful to realize that we eat so well here, that we have the best medicine in the world. We have people, three of our people that need help. We sent them by our socialist collectors, sent them to Venezuela, and where it looked like the one young man was going to die. He's improved steadily, but it's a very costly medicine, rare, that we had to find the medicine to cure him. He was unable to walk or to see towards the last, but he's now walking again, standing, and this is encouraging. And of course, the thorough trial was interrupted with a question that had to be answered. Our comrade that had cancers all over his body and went through U.S. medicine, ignored. And the 30-some that would come into our community here that had cancer, and doctors told them just days before in the United States there was nothing wrong with them. If we hadn't caught them by our total preventative medical plan, even where we have practical medical emergency teams who know how to diagnose, so that every 3 months our people are giving diagnostic care and preventative medical care. This also is going to be a costly affair because Comrade Gottschalk, a very good man, no one had taken care of it, but they are going to be able to eliminate them, but it's going to take some time because he had cancers all over his body and his skin, and that's the way they were allowed to be in the United States, and I wouldn't have it for a moment. But the collective,